Tell your neighbor, yes, folks, tell your neighbor Walter Mason. This is a program for you and by you. Here, you can get acquainted with your neighbors from coast to coast by sharing with them the things that have made your life happier. Those memories, experiences, and stories and poems that have brought you laughter and inspiration. It's fun to tell your neighbor, and you'll win prizes, too, so tell your neighbor. And now, here he is, your good neighbor and friend, Walter Mason.
How are you, neighbor? And here's wishing you many, many happy returns if you're celebrating your birthday on this Thursday, October 20th. You know, it was on this date back in 1859, just 90 years ago, that America's greatest living philosopher, psychologist, teacher, and educator, John Dewey, was born. And back in 1822, October 20th was the birth date of the English lawyer and writer Thomas Hughes, who gave to boys everywhere the immortal book, Tom Brown's School Days. And now to the day's mail and what stories and hints we can find here. And first off, a note from Mrs. Ruby Patton of Baxter Springs, Kansas. And this is the story that she tells us. It's all about a little neighbor boy whose parents had studied child psychology and who always tried to make the punishment fit the crime. Mrs. Patton says, one morning, little Timmy was having a late breakfast with Inky, his cocker spaniel pup, wagging his tail nearby. Mother was busy making beds in another part of the house, so Timmy interrupted his breakfast at one point to go talk with her for a minute or two. And when he got back to the table to finish his food, he found out that Inky the pup had beat him to it. But, says Mrs. Patton, four-year-old Timmy didn't let this faze him a bit, for as he told his shocked daddy that evening, I punished Inky, Daddy. I ate up all his dog biscuits. Well, that was hardly sweet revenge. But anyway, thanks a lot for writing in, Mrs. Patton of Baxter Springs, Kansas. And for your gift now, I'm sending you a certificate for three pairs of Promet shoes. Nationally famous Promets, the smart, comfortable shoes that women in America love to step out in. I see an interesting household hint in this next note from Mrs. S.K. Pavlovsky of Jacksonville, North Carolina. And here's how she tells us about it. She says you can keep parsley fresh for a month if you treat it like a bouquet of flowers. Place the parsley in a bowl of water and then set it in the refrigerator. Change the water every 2 days or so, and it will remain crisp and green right down to the last sprig of it, even if it's a month later. Well, I think that's a very fine and handy idea, Mrs. Pavlovsky of Jacksonville, North Carolina, and it's one that's earned you a gift of Art Craft of St. Louis Venetian blinds for any three windows in your house. Genuine all-metal Venetian blinds by Art Craft of St. Louis. Mrs. Thomas Finch has written in from Rustburg, Virginia, to tell us of one of her favorite memories, a memory that taught her a lesson. But before reading your letter, Mrs. Finch, I'd like to mention your gift for sharing it, a double-purpose Everhot airflow fan and heater that's attractive and portable and comes equipped with the Everhot Comfortrol to keep you cool in the summer and warm in the winter. And now for Mrs. Finch's letter. She says, I was a little stringy-haired country girl just 10 years old when this happened. My sister was 12. We were used to hard work and lived very frugally. Now, it was the dewberry season, and we wanted some dewberries for our mother to can for breakfast time on winter mornings. We heard of a family in the district who had berries for the picking on the share system. You know, you'd pick a pailful and give half to the owner of the land. Well, we didn't mind the 4 mile hike walking to that farm, for we were young and full of hope. But after about 4 hours of backbreaking berry picking work, picking those low berries, we dreaded the 4 miles walk back home. We went to the farmhouse to give our half of the berries up to the owner. But, says Mrs. Finch, as we went up to the door of that farmhouse, the wonderful odor of homemade bread greeted our hungry stomachs and noses. The farmer's wife was busy and asked us to wait on the little back porch. Yes, she was very busy, daubing great blobs of golden butter all over each beautiful brown loaf of the bread. She took her time rubbing butter over every inch of that wonderful bread so that it would have a soft crust. But when she'd finished, she came out, she took our small buckets of berries, poured a generous half of the berries in her pail, and said, well, goodbye, girls. We said goodbye, of course. We were disappointed. We turned and walked the long, hungry 4 miles home, carrying what berries we had left. But, says Mrs. Finch, That's not the end of the story. Today, you see, I am thankful that I'm able to feed every child that ever crosses my doorstep. Black or white, ragged or dirty, selling papers or Christmas seals, every child that comes to my door gets something to eat. In the summertime, they get drinks of real lemonade. In the winter, they get hot chocolate with hot bread and butter. For, you see, Mrs. Finch concludes her letter, I, too, love to make bread. And I haven't forgotten that I was once 10 years old and knew what it was to be hungry.
One thing that has helped make America the greatest nation in the world is the down-to-earth neighborliness that knits together the peoples of 100 different nations and 100 different faiths to make of them one united people, the United States of America. But there are some misguided persons among us who are sowing seeds of dissension and hate, misguided persons who judge a man by his ancestry or the way he worships or the color of his skin. When you do that, you are being un-American. You are destroying America. The thoughtful, truly loyal American judges his fellow man not by his ancestry, not by his way of worship, not by the color of his skin, but by what he stands for, by what he believes in, by his way of life. Remember, only by living together in peace and harmony, with considerate respect for one another, is the spirit of true American neighborliness. One can continue to keep the America strong and great. And now, back to Walter Mason.
Thank you. And now I see a handy household hint here from Mrs. J.E. Thornton of Columbia, South Carolina. And here's how she tells us about it. When you spill grease on your kitchen floor, she says, or on a wooden tabletop or any place around the kitchen, the thing to do is to pour ice-cold water right on that spilled grease as soon as you can. That cold water will harden the grease, prevent it from sinking into the wood or linoleum, and you'll be able to scrape it up very easily in a minute or so with a spatula or a knife. Well, I think that's a real trouble saver, Mrs. J.E. Thornton of Columbia, South Carolina, and it's earned you a gift of a complete assortment of 6 famous American Lady vinyl plastic aprons and 6 matching tablecloths, plus a set of American Lady dinette drapes, all styled by American Textile Products of St. Louis. And now it's time for our Golden Rule Award, our daily salute to a real good neighbor. And such a neighbor, indeed, is today's award winner, Mrs. O.J. Rogstad, who lives in Chester, Vermont. The letter of nomination telling her story comes to us from Mrs. Willis Bliss of Chester. And for your gift, Mrs. Bliss, I have a DeWald table model radio and a handsome Catalan plastic cabinet. DeWald, with its famous true clear tone and fine, long-lasting performance. Now, Mrs. Bliss begins her letter by saying this. A terrible thing happened to me and my family not very long ago. And at the same time, a very wonderful thing happened, too. You see, Mrs. Bliss says, my husband, my young son, and I went out for a Sunday drive over to Keene, New Hampshire, to watch the motorcycle races there. And while there, we were informed by the Keene police that our home and barn were on fire. Well, says Mrs. Bliss, you can imagine what happened to our hearts when we heard that. We rushed home just as fast as we could. But when we got there, we found that only a few things were left from the great fire. Our clothes and furnishings, just about everything we had in the world, had gone up in flames. We felt deserted, and then we realized how wonderful people can be. All the neighbors in our community had pitched right in and were helping us to the best of their ability. And then, says Mrs. Bliss, the very best of good neighbors, Mrs. O.J. Rogstad, insisted that we come over to her house and be cared for by her. And when we got there, we had a hot supper waiting for us. She'd laid out clothes that we could wear and had turned her living room into a bedroom for our family. Yes, she kept our family and her home, clothed us, fed us, and cared for us for going on 2 months until we finally found a place that we could rent to start out our family life all over again. And when we left, Mrs. Rogstad would not let us pay a penny for a single thing that she'd done for us. Now, there are many good deeds that Mrs. Rogstad has done that I could tell you about, Mrs. Bliss continues. She's always kind and always helpful and always conducts her life by the golden rule. But the biggest thing of all to us is that when we were destitute and needed help, this good neighbor took us into her home and cared for us as if we were her own. That certainly makes her a good neighbor, I'm sure. Well, I'm sure of it, too. And it makes me very happy to say right now that today's Golden Rule Award goes to Mrs. O.J. Rogstad of Chester, Vermont. In recognition of your fine good neighborly deeds, Mrs. Rugstead, I'm sending you a Golden Rule certificate. And as a special gift, you will also have the new Lewitt vacuum cleaner that does such a grand all-purpose job of cleaning around the house. Lewitt, the cleaner that's different because it has no bag to empty. Just a smooth metal dust bowl from which you pour the dust in a jiffy. Congratulations to you, and keep up the good work. And now, here is our announcer.
Sometimes we don't pay quite enough attention to the nice things folks do for us and for our friends. Sometimes we're not in a position where we can say thanks the way we'd really like to. And that's one of the reasons Walter Mason presents the Golden Rule Award every broadcast day. So tell your neighbor about the kind deed. Pass the good word along, giving the full name and address of the good neighbor you wish to honor. If your nomination is used, Walter Mason will help you say thanks by telling the story over the air and by sending the winner a Golden Rule certificate and a very special gift. And you may have other stories to tell your neighbors, your favorite joke or poem, a thought for the day, or your childhood's happiest memory. Write as often as you wish. And remember to include a bright saying, the story of an interesting true experience, or your husband's most amazing excuse. For each one used, you'll receive a fine gift. So write today and tell your neighbor. And now, back to Walter Mason.
Thank you. And now I see a letter here from a Swansboro, North Carolina neighbor, Mrs. R.H. Alsop, and here's what she tells us. I'd like to tell you neighbors, she writes, a story about my young son, Butch, and I'm proud of him. At the time, Butch was 4 years old, and we were living in San Antonio, Texas. Now, there was an elderly Negro man named Rufus who used to pass by our house every day, and at times he'd give Butch some soda pop that he bought with money collected from refunds on bottles gathered from vacant lots and yards. He never failed to stop and talk to our Butch when passing by, and Butch always looked forward to his visits. Well, one week we went away to visit Grandmother. The first night there, after Butch had said his prayers and asked God to bless Mommy, Daddy, Grandma, and little sister Patty, he added, "And God bless Rufus, too." Says Mrs. Alsop, I asked why Butch had thought to include Rufus in his prayers so far away from home, and he replied very seriously, "Why, Mommy, him, too." Well, I think that's an awfully fine letter and a grand story, Mrs. R.H. Alsop of Swansboro, North Carolina. And to return the favor, I'm sending you this gift, a beautiful all-purpose train case by the makers of Maximilian Match Luggage. Maximilian, the luggage bonded with the Surety Company, to guarantee you satisfaction. I see that it's just about time for our poem now. And this one is one that I enjoyed reading and one I think you neighbors will enjoy having me read to you. It comes to us from neighbor Clara Vose, who lives in Hatch, New Mexico. And for your gift, neighbor Vose, I have an Alden Super Non-Skid Rug with a lovely pebble tuft all-looped pile, plus a full year's subscription to the Fun and Profit Club, New York 22, with 12 fascinating hobby kits arriving at your home, one each month. The poem is quite a short one. It's called When I Say Friend, and this is the way it goes. When I say friend, it means to me a soul that understands, a harmony that binds, as though our inmost thoughts joined hands, a trust and confidence supreme that never fails to blend into that something that is me. And so, I call you friend. Goodbye, neighbors.
Walter Mason will return to the air tomorrow at this same time. Remember, every listener in every part of the country has an opportunity to tell a story on Tell Your Neighbor and receive one of the many valuable gifts. Tell a joke you enjoy, a true animal story, your childhood's happiest memory, or the story of your favorite good neighbor. And send your letter to Walter Mason, Tell Your Neighbor, in care of the station to which you are listening. Tune in again tomorrow to Walter Mason and Tell Your Neighbor. This program came from New York. For outdoor sporting thrills, hear the Fishing and Hunting Club of America with Bill Slater and the experts of Field and Stream tonight over most of these stations. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.